You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
Good. I want to greet all of you who are watching online and those of you here live at Four Points. Thank you for coming. If I don't have the chance to know you, my name is Will Davis Jr. Welcome to Austin Christian Fellowship. It is great to have you. Welcome back to Austin Christian Fellowship. Aren't you glad it's 80 degrees outside and not 4 degrees outside? Man, if you at any point online especially would like to connect with our church, know more about us, if you text the phrase, the little word ACF Connect, one word, ACF Connect to 512-866-9908, we'll get right back to you. We'd love to know who you are, why you're attending online, how we can help you, how we can serve you. I've been so proud of this church. The last many, many weeks, you guys have had ample opportunities to rise to the occasion and give and serve and pray and go and protect, and you've done such great work. The stories are still coming in of what you have done for people during the last craziness of our run here in Austin. Who thought the pandemic would be the end, you know? Snowmageddon in Austin, Texas rained. Anyway, thanks for being here. We're in a series called Let's Do Something. And I need to tell you a story, but before I do that, we're going to put a Facebook image on the screen. If you have any desire, and I really hope you will, to weigh in on what I'm going to talk about. I started this 3 weeks ago. We've missed the last 2 weeks on the topic because of what's been going on in our city. We're really talking about how here in Austin, Texas, we can serve the homeless community better. If you're not from Austin, if you're watching from someplace around the state or around the globe, you may or may not know we have a significant homeless issue here in Austin, Texas, and it's getting worse. And we've been talking about how we as a church, we're doing a lot financially. We're thinking that perhaps we might need to do more than just financial, and so we're talking about that. But if you have a comment that's not political, that's not snarky, that's not, you know, aimed at someone, and you, a really good suggestion on how we could possibly get in this game and do more, please put it on the Facebook post page there, the Let's Do Something page on our Facebook account. We've already gotten some amazing suggestions from the real simplest to the really dramatic, and they're all good. And we're going to talk about those a bit next week and talk about what we might can do as a church and then move on into our pre-Easter topic. But let me just begin with prayer. Can I do that? Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for getting us through the technical difficulties this morning. Thank you that you are bigger than all that. Lord, I pray you'd humble me right now and clear my mind. Thank you for our amazing worship team and how they led us so well. Thank you for these amazing people here in the room and those many, many more out watching online right now, God. And I just pray you do something in us that we can't. And I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have a Bible, I'm going to get you to Isaiah chapter 58 in just a minute. And I will tell you, if you go to Isaiah 58, enter at your own risk, okay? Back in September or October, I have a confession to make to you guys. And I don't like to make this confession, but I have to. I've had a really, really rotten attitude about the homelessness in our city. Not toward the homeless. Candidly toward the city council that, you know, moved the camping ordinance, removed it so the homeless could come. They were here, we just couldn't see them as much. You've seen it now. I was down at Lady Bird Lake a few weeks ago, and they've camped all along the hike and bike trail. I mean, they're everywhere. And I'm mad about what's happened in the city I grew up in. And I had a terrible attitude about it. So Susan and I were going on a trip, and we were going down Ben White to go toward the airport, and it was like 6 a.m., and trash was everywhere, and tents were everywhere, and cardboard was there. I was like, I want the mayor to do something. And I heard something. I heard, why haven't you done something about this? And I knew right then that it was complete indigestion, so I ignored it. Went to the airport, went on the trip, came back 6 days later, driving up Ben White, home, going home, having the same rawr. Look at this cardboard rawr, rawr, rawr. And I heard something again. Why haven't you done something about this? I can tell you one other time in my life when I've heard something that clearly. It wasn't an audible voice, but you know. And this one other time was 7 years ago, and it's still affecting how I live today. I'm still acting on what I heard 7 years ago. I heard the same thing. Why haven't you done something about this? And I began to think, this is not indigestion. This may be God. And I had to repent. I got home, called a good friend of mine who I trust implicitly. I called our missions director, Michelle Briggins, and began to talk about, I think this may be God. And then I made the mistake of reading Isaiah 58. I read 100, I have 100 chapters of the Bible that I've kind of pulled out that I read mostly before I do anything else, just over and over again. I want to know these 100 chapters really, really well. I made the mistake of making those, one of those 100 chapters, Isaiah 58. It's such a magnificent chapter. The Israelites are asking why when they fast, when they deny themselves food, nothing happens. And the Lord answers back, because you're ignoring the needs around you. What good is fasting if you don't become more like God? I've heard a phrase in talking, we've been busy the last several months preparing for this series, doing homework and meeting people and talking to people in the city. And I've heard a phrase that really troubles me. And it's the phrase, throw away humans. See, in our culture, there is an acceptable level of throwaway humans. And it's the homeless. It's the people that if they live and die on the streets, bummer. That's really bad, but it's not my problem. And as long as I can't see them and have to interact with them, as long as I can sit at that red light and just look away, then it's not my problem. And if that guy or that girl dies tomorrow on the streets, well, I'm so sorry, but it's not my problem. It's an acceptable level percentage of humans that if the government or the church or the nonprofit world doesn't deal with them, bummer, but it's okay. It's not our problem. And that's where God says, that's not okay. There's no such thing as a throwaway human. And guess what? It's not the church, it's not the government's responsibility, it's the church's. That's been my big, humbling repentance point of the last few months. Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7 says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? You want to see what fasting is like? This is what fasting is like. To loose the bonds of wickedness and to undo the straps of the yoke. To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Yeah, I just hate that passage. That phrase, bring the homeless poor into your house. I've done a lot of wrestling over those few words the last several months. What does that mean? What exactly does that mean for me and Susie, for our church? Is this not the fast that I've chosen, that those who are most, that you don't hide yourself from your flesh when you see your brother, your sister, child of God, no throwaway humans out there dying, that you don't hide yourself from them? So that's where this series started, on Ben White Boulevard at 6 a.m. back in the fall when I was griping about our city council. And the Lord said, really? That's your answer? What Isaiah 58 says is that humility before God will yield the compassion of God. The more you become God-like, the more then you will begin to think and feel like God does. The more you get his heart. The more that you're puffed up before God and arrogant and think that he owes you another whatever, then you're not going to have any compassion at all. It's going to be all about you. But one of the things I love about our church is that so many of you really do understand it's not about you, and you're here to bring life to people and hope to people. And you've leveraged yourself as best you can to do that, that the focus of your life is no longer you, it's others. And that's when you're heart of God. But there is a clear relationship between humility and compassion. There's also, church, a relationship, and my friend Chris Tapkin, who's sitting on the front row, always says, there's a clear relationship between prayer and justice. The more time you spend praying, the more you're going to want to seek justice for others and not yourself. There's a connection between prayer and missions, that the more you pray, the more you're going to want to help get the word out about who Jesus Christ is to people that may not know him. So humility yields compassion, prayer yields justice, and prayer yields mission. And we're a church that's trying to be all those things. Humble before God, a praying church, a worshiping church, and inevitably he's going to give us the heart that he has. And so there was my wake-up call and been whining again. Okay, well, you want to be, you know, all compassionate. Well, why are you driving past these people and griping about people that don't have the means to deal with it? So what I'd like to do is just, I want to read some scriptures over you today. Today, I'm putting my cards on the table. In this second week of this message, and I was going to, somebody made fun of me this morning because I hadn't talked on this in 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, I'm like backed up a bit in messages. Buckle your seatbelt. There's another word, but I'm not going to say it. I tried to work in some things today that I just want you to hear. But what I want to do right now is I want to just read scripture and I want the scriptures to talk to you. Not will. I want the scriptures to just, you can close your eyes for a few minutes if you want to. You can get in a posture of prayer. You can just listen. They're going to be on the screen. If you want to read them, write them down. But I'm going to go from Old Testament to New. I think I've got like six passages here I'm going to read to you. I'm going to let the Bible speak for itself. The first is the biblical writer. I've got two passages from Moses, the biblical writer who gave us the first five books. Both are from Deuteronomy. Moses says, if among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother. But you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his needs, whatever it may be. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and all you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, to the poor in your land. Moses, again, in the same message, a few paragraphs down, the next chapter 26 says, when you finish paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, which is the year of the tithe, giving it to the Levite were a priest who led the nation of Israel in worship. They were not allowed to own any land or have any income. Their dependency was on God, and God provided for them through his people. So the Levites were part of the group that the nation of Israel was required to care for. When you give it, you would give it to the Levite, the sojourner, the traveler coming through, the fatherless, the widow, so that they may eat within your towns and be filled. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed, look at this phrase, the sacred portion. The sacred portion was that set aside, not for me. I removed it from my house and given it. It was for the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, according to your commands that you've commanded me. I have not transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. The sacred portion was for the poor. Solomon, the wisest man perhaps in the world's history, one of the greatest kings of Israel. Proverbs says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Jesus, in Matthew 25, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and welcome you or naked and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and visit you? This is the passage I was going to teach last week. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. The least, that phrase least means least in the world's system, not least in God's system. It's those who culture might say you're unworthy, you're unwilling, or unable to make a meaningful contribution, so therefore you might be considered throwaway. It's the people culture rushes past. Jesus says, those are my brothers and my sisters. That's the group I most identify with. And when you minister to them and you look into their eyes, you're looking in mine. James, the half-brother of Jesus toward the end of the New Testament, says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things that need for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And finally, their biblical writer, John, in 1 John, the third chapter, says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Aren't you glad you came to church today? Isn't this fun? Happy and peppy and bursting with love. Little children, let us love not in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. Wow. What I want to submit to you today, my friends, is that there's more we can do. We're doing a lot. It was a very young Alan Graham, by the way. And he now has started Community First, which is the most successful re-engaging of the homeless off the streets into micro homes and meaningful labor. Most of them are unemployable because of what they've been through. I told you 2 weeks ago that many of the chronically homeless, people think they're lazy and people think they just don't want to work and they're just trying to be burdens on society. I compare them to wounded warriors who I have some exposure to and some time with, as well as the homeless. Many of them have been through so much trauma, they can't work. They have been through such horrific family, Alan Graham calls it catastrophic loss of family. Catastrophic abuse, catastrophic terror in their lives, to the point that they have been so emotionally scarred that they are most of them incapable of having jobs. A lot of wounded warriors are the same way. A lot of guys who come back from, or ladies who come back from military service have been so broken by what they've experienced that many of them can't work. They're not lazy. They're broken. They're the least of these in our culture. We support Alan Graham. We're giving Community First. You guys are giving Community First over the next 10, we're 2 years into it. We're giving them $1 million in 10 years. And I love that. I love that ACF has put its money where its heart is, and we're helping them build homes and get the homeless off the street and fund their staff. And you guys, just by giving alone, we're making significant impact to Community First. And many of you have been out there and served, and it's just a magical place to go. People go out there and live. They live out there missionally in a mobile home or a tiny home and just live among the homeless to care for them. They take their families and go live out there. And that's their mission, is to live out there among the homeless and care for them. It's such a beautiful thing. I'm not convinced we're not being asked to do more. And I just have to put my cards on the table as your pastor and say that to you. And I don't know a better church in Austin to say we're in more than ACF. I just don't know. I don't know one. I know your hearts. I know the kind of people you are. I don't know a better church for that. So about a month ago, we were involved in a prayer event here in the city. It's an annual day of prayer that pastors put on, and I was in charge of a group that was leading prayer for repentance. They picked me to lead repentance. What does that tell you when the prayer leadership in the city says, hey, Will, pray about repentance? Okay, thank you, leaders. And so I, of course, picked three people I thought needed to repent significantly to come pray. And one of them was our director of missions, Michelle Briggins, who leads this effort in our city along with Spencer and Gelke about dealing with homelessness in our city. And I didn't know what Michelle was going to say or read or do. I had no idea. I said, all three of you guys some time, just lead these pastors in praying for repentance in our city and our country. If you don't know the word repentance, it simply means a turning back, a return, re. It's you've been going one direction and you're going out of control and you stop and you do an about face and you go the other direction. That's what repentance. It's changing your thinking that changes your behavior. That's all it is. Michelle woke up at 5 a.m. with a prayer on her heart, and she wrote it down. And then she shared it with those pastors a few hours later. I want to read to you what Michelle read that day to those pastors. I walked up to her right after and said, yay, can I please have that? We're going to put this in the series. So Michelle said, as a nation, we repent. This is on the screen. As a nation, we repent of the way we look away when we see those in need, of our lack of outrage over the discarded lives of the precious unborn, for the children and adults abducted into slavery every day, for the suffering of the sojourners among us, and for allowing race to divide us. As a community, we repent of our lack of compassion shown to the homeless brothers and sisters who are camping in our streets, for our inattention and lack of care to widows and orphans in their distress, and the children languishing in our foster care system. We ask repentance as a body of believers for leaving the correction of these injustices to others, for abdicating our responsibility to solve grave injustices to our government, for getting the power you provide when we serve in unity as your church. You and only you provide the ability for us to ease pain in our midst. Forgive us for forgetting that you equip your saints. Thank you, Father, that in your word, you promise if your people who are called by your name will humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven and you will forgive our sin and you will heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. So, Father, we cry out today to you to forgive us, to heal our churches, to heal our city, and to heal our nation. In Jesus' name. Church, let's do something. Shall we? Let's do something. Let's not be that generation that's so captivated by stuff and our lifestyles and our careers and our portfolios and are so paralyzed in fear because of a pandemic that we just look away while so many people hurt significantly and we have the means to help them. Remember what God said in Deuteronomy, I will bless you as you bless others. So here are some things. Next week, I'm going to get real granular on some things we as a church might choose to be part of. But today for you, let me just say, here are some things you can do. Number one, please pray. Pray for your leadership in this city. Pray for your leadership in this state. Pray for your leadership in the country as they have difficult decisions to make and in some cases do not have the means, the expertise to deal with what's going on. They're throwing money and buying hotels and having homeless czars and all these things the council and other leaders are trying to do don't work. And there's got to be better solutions. Pray for your leaders. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the leaders of your church, or the churches in Austin, that will have that divine insight and wisdom. That the wisdom of God, you can always tell the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man. The wisdom of God makes you humble. The wisdom of man makes you arrogant. The wisdom of God yields peace. The wisdom of man produces assertiveness and aggressiveness and conflict and pushiness. There's a lot of wisdom of man out there right now. Pray that we'll have the wisdom of God that will make us humble and wise. Offer ideas on Facebook, please. We really want to hear, what are you thinking? And now that I put my cards on the table saying it might be more than just giving money, I need you to think and pray about that. What would you say do, church? Hey, what if? What if? What would you say do? From 2 weeks ago, think social responsibility. Read Isaiah 58. This is the fast I've chosen. Do something. What is that for you? What does social responsibility look like for you? How can you make a difference? How can you lead your family, your roommates, your cul-de-sac, your office to being engaged in solving part of the problem? You can help serve on March 14th, a couple weeks out. We're going to have a serving project where we prepare, I'm not thinking the right word here, something kind of backpacks. What's the word we're doing? Do we remember? No, they're not. They're like blessing backpacks, but it begins with an R. Resiliency kits. See? Thank you all. This is participation today. We're doing resiliency kits, and they're going to be amazing. We're actually hitting up some of the camping and sporting. I'm in charge of this, or my wonderful assistant is, because I love this. We're recruiting camping gear, sleeping bags, et cetera. I'm like, nothing but the best. If we're going to give to the homeless, I want good stuff. We're going to pack those things up on the 14th and put them together. And so you can go to our Facebook page, Let's Do Something, and learn more about that, or just email our missions team, missions@acfellowship.org, and learn more about that serving opportunity on the 14th. Always, I would say, give 10% of whatever you make to this church, without apology. It's biblical. You heard about the tithe earlier. I'm not asking for money so I can take a vacation, okay? We try to give away half of what you give. That's why we can give $1 million to Community First. So if you will tithe just 10% to ACF, you can support other ministries and nonprofits. Susie and I do as well, but our first tenth comes here. We're going to steward it really well, and we're going to do some really good. We were able to do so much last week even because you give. So just give, do what the scriptures say. God will honor you for it. It'll change your life, and everybody wins. And finally, get engaged with one of these three ministries. I'm going to put it on the screen here. The other one's foundation is the nonprofit that's running Camp Esperanza under the state's permission. Camp Esperanza is where the governor came in a year ago and swept up some homeless people and put them on some TxDOT property down by the airport. And it's just a big out-of-sight mess. But it's out of sight. That's the point. 200 folks, give or take, living here. The other one's foundation was originally an organization that just gave showers to homeless people because you never know how much you feel better after having a shower. Well, they've decided to make it a full turnkey thing, and they're really working to make Camp Esperanza more meaningful, like Community First is. Those guys are great. They're down there every day, and they're rock stars, and support them. Go down and meet them. Look up the other one's foundation. Secondly, obviously Community First Village, our long-term partner with Alan Graham and Amber Fogarty, that amazing team out there. We support them significantly. Go serve out there. Go get to know some homeless neighbors out there. They're not homeless anymore. They're neighbors. And serve there as you want to. And finally, Sunrise Community Church is down on Manshack. And they have just drunk the Kool-Aid on this because there's a homeless area right there, Ben White, next close to where they have a church, and they finally just said, we can't ignore these people. Well, they turned it into a 24/7 serving area with all kinds of social services and counseling and food and care for that homeless community who's by them, and it has transformed their church. And the police officers now will give their business cards out. When they pick up a homeless person, they'll say, go to this church. They'll meet during COVID, they've been having health evaluations with Texas health people via Zoom. They're doing everything for these. It's amazing how they're helping these people. That's a church. On a shoestring budget, just going for it. Get to know those guys. Write them a check. Somebody wrote us last week and said, how do I help? And we said, send Sunrise a check. They need the help. So much more I could say. I don't feel I feel guilt for my attitude. I don't feel guilt that we're just now getting here. God has different seasons for people. But I will feel like I'm not leading us the way I should if we don't look a little harder at this. There's no guilt or like, what's wrong with us or why haven't we done more? It's none of that. It's just for this next season, this may be our assignment. This is a crisis in Austin and our leaders can't fix it. We can either get really mad at them and say, vote the bums out, or we can do something. Because remember, the largest volunteer base in the city is the church. The largest non-taxed resource base in the city is the church. So let's do something. Let's pray. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for these wonderful folks who joined us online. Thank you for getting us through the craziness of technology, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, and we're still here, and thank you. But I pray for humility. I pray for brokenness. I pray that we won't take that throwaway humans mindset to heart, that some people just don't matter. Lord, forgive us for that. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, you show us what to do. We have a lot of options. What do you want us to do, Lord? We're asking you as a church. We all put our hands to this plow. What's it look like, Lord? How do we give? How do we pray? How do we serve? How do we help reduce the population of people on our streets and the reasons they're there? We know you'll show us. We ask you to hear us asking right now, and we know you'll show us. And we love you tons, and we thank you that when we were homeless, wanderers, broken, poor, wretched, blind, and naked, you brought us in. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys online, God bless you. We'll see you next week.